Father, this morning. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for the chance to come together, Lord God, as your people, Father God, and in your name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the name that's above every other name, the name by which we're saved. And Lord, we come together in that name right now, Lord, as brothers and sisters, Lord, a family in the body of Christ, Lord, those that are called by you, Lord, and joined together by your Holy Spirit, Father God, into one living, breathing body in this world, Lord, all connected to your head, Father, doing your will as you plan and as you ordain it, Lord, by your Spirit, Father God. So, Lord, this evening, Lord God, this day, Lord, this morning, Father, Lord, we just are grateful, Lord God, for all over the world, Lord God, for the moving of your Spirit. And, Lord, we pray right now, Father, that your Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth would be with us in this time. Father, I pray, Lord God, and we pray, Father God, for every, Lord, need, Lord, that it would just be met. Father, that people would be able to rest in you, Lord, be able to trust in you, Father. Lord, be able to know, Lord God, with assurance, Father, that everything is taken care of, Lord, as they seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord. So right now, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do bind every demonic spirit, every work of the devil, Lord. We call it null and void. And Father, we proclaim, Lord, your lordship and your dominion, Father God, the dominion of the King of Kings in this place. And Lord God, right now, Father God, we also, Lord God, affirm ourselves, each other, Lord God, as our desire, Lord, to walk with you and with your truth. And Lord, right now, Father, just I get out of the way. Lord, as we go into the Word, Father, I pray, Lord God, I yield, Lord God, to your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, everything that comes forward would be your will and your way, Father. We are just so thankful, Lord, that we know you and that you know us, Father, and that we can walk together as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it is so cool. I don't know many other words. So cool to know Jesus. It really is. I don't know what the singular word is. No, see the dynamic. Actually, it's very hot. You know, sometimes I remember back in like long, like school day time and stuff. Sometimes like people when they were like, oh, they, you know, if they thought you had anything to do with God or whatever, they thought it was something because they didn't know him. They didn't understand him. They missed the point of how amazing and wonderful this relationship is. Now religion is terrible. Religion is terrible. But a real living dynamic relationship with your Creator is the most wonderful thing that you can walk through this life with. And for those that know that, for those that have experienced that, for those that live with that reality, it is such a wonderful thing to wake up to walk through, to go to sleep at night with, to face every challenge of every day. Because your life becomes this adventure where God is unfolding things as you're walking with Him, and things can change so much, but even if things change, it's okay because you know that He's with you in the change and He has lordship over everything that's happening. Because the people of God are not afraid of change. The people of God are not afraid of turbulent times. The people of God are not afraid to die. Those that are in connection with God, it's like, yeah, to live is Christ, to die is gain? Gain. So we live very differently. We relate to this world and this reality that everybody's in very differently. Now that said, you're surrounded by a lot of people that relate to this world as a person in the world. So it takes some wisdom and some discernment to not get caught up in their drama, in their teledrama. Because the world people are living a bit of a teledrama. That's their lives. Everything's something dramatic. And the smallest thing, because their lives are built on sand, will shake their foundation, and that's the biggest catastrophe to ever happen. But if you've been walking with God, God has been stretching you and disciplining you and allowing you to experience tribulation and trials of all kinds that have built your faith. And He's made you strong inside. He's given you a spirit of boldness inside. So when you go into a situation, it's like Paul. You say, I know whom I have believed in. I am persuaded. You know the God you serve because you've been through some things with Him. You've learned about His provision. You've learned about His protection. You've learned about the empowering that comes by the Spirit of God that enables you to do things you could never in the natural do. And you and I have learned an absolute dependency on the Spirit of God for give us this day our daily bread. We depend on Him for our sustaining in the physical, natural world, in the spiritual world, in your mind, everything. So it's a beautiful time for the people of God. I'm so excited about what God is doing right now. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. And verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Okay.
Moses, Mama then Akata Harry,
Okay. Context of what's happening. The background of what's happening. Okay, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Okay. Now, the background of this is, how old is Moses? Not 40, 80. Yes, 80. Purish, 80. Okay, Moses is 80. What's he doing? And whose sheep? Somebody else's sheep. These aren't even his sheep. These are some father-in-law's sheep. So Moses, 80 years old, looking after father-in-law's sheep, and where? In the desert? Not even the desert, not the front side of the desert, the back side of the desert. Is there a more hopeless sounding, pathetic sounding situation than taking care of your father-in-law, somebody else's, your father-in-law's sheep at 80 years old in the backside of the desert somewhere? You don't have a sheep to call your own. You're taking care of somebody else's. And now you've passed all those prime years of life, all the stuff the world craves, those have gone in taking care of somebody's sheep. And he hasn't just been doing this for 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, a long time. So he got through, he came there about 40 years old, so he spent about 40 years. See, Moses basically, his life was 3 40-year periods. 40. The first 40, he was trained to be a king. The first 40, Moses was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. The first 40, Moses was trained to be a big shot. And God took the next 40 to get the big shot out of him. God took the next 40 to bring Moses to the point that the last thing he trusted in was a stick to take care of somebody else's sheep. But think about the situation. Now put yourself in Moses' shoes, Moses' mindset. What would your expectation of life be at that point? If you were in his situation, his state, what would you expect life to be for you? Now mind you, not many people lived to 80 in the first place. I know of somebody recently just died at the breakfast table. These people aren't 80. What would your expectation of life be at that stage? What would your expectation of God be at that stage? See, Moses had certain dreams, certain desires, certain things that had been put inside of his heart even as a young man. So when he saw his people being oppressed, when he saw the Egyptian hurting the Israelite, he went and because he wanted to see his people delivered, and there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Literally in that situation, somebody died. But Moses had a desire that was put in his heart by God to see the people of God free. Now how now would he relate to those desires? How now would he relate to those dreams? What would his thoughts be towards his own life? How many people would say in that situation, okay, this is pretty much it? I've got a little food here and I've got something to do and this is pretty much it. One day, the sheep aren't going to come back for 2-3 days. They'll come out and they'll find my body somewhere in the desert with these sheep. I'm guessing 81, 82, 83, maybe 84, somewhere in there. How many people would that be the way they related to the reality that they were in at that time? Now there is something that changes when you have an intervention with the Spirit of God. When you have a meeting and an encounter with life itself. There is something that changes when you and I encounter the presence of God. The spirit of life that quickens your mortal body, something changes. You know, my friend Chandala was preaching recently, talking about Abraham and Sarah. You see, Sarah at 90 years old, the word of the Lord comes to Abraham and to Sarah. And then the next thing you know, after the word of the Lord has come, all these kings are chasing after Sarah to grab the wife. Now, is anyone showing up to the granny's program to pick up women? Who's chasing after a 90-year-old woman? No, what happened was... What happened was when the word of the Lord came to Sarah, God actually flipped back the biological clock so that she could have this child. So it wasn't this grandma running around with a baby inside. It was this person that the word of the Lord came to her and God actually changed the natural situation in her natural body so that she could in fact have this child. So So whenever she'd go into a place, all these guys would go crazy because they're like, this is an amazingly beautiful, nobody's thinking 90-year-old, nobody's knowing. Think about... And even Moses, think about the task ahead of him at this point in time. For the next 40 years, how much walking, how much of life that he would have in him. When he, at 120, when he went up on the mountain to die, he's climbing up this mountain and it said his strength had not failed him and he could see, his eyesight was perfect. Moses. So when somebody is connected to the life and the Spirit of God, things change. See, the world lives on a timeline. And that timeline pretty much means, because you're detached from the source of life, here's how much time it will take for everything to drain out of you and for you to completely die and wither away. But with God, everything changes. With God, even in this story and even in this situation, as you go through this, look at how many things change because the presence and the empowering of the Spirit of God, and that being the only thing that it changes the situation. So Moses himself, God took, not just old men, he was a murderer. He was an old murderer. He was an old ex-convict. God takes an old ex-con, sheep herding, father-in-law's sheep, backside of the desert, and takes this one and makes him a deliverer for the entire nation of Israel. See, this is why if any life that is given over to God, any life that goes after and receives whatever God offers them, that life, you have no idea what the potential is in that life. Only the Spirit of God knows what's in there. There was a friend one time told me, he said, any idiot can tell you how many seeds are inside of an orange, but only God can tell you how many oranges are inside of a seed. There's certain things that you can count and you can measure and you can say this is the expectation of what life has been and what life will be, but only God can tell you what's truly inside of you. And only God will be able to tell you and show and actualize what will happen if the life that you are and the person that you are is completely given over to Him. What will happen out of that? Now, all that said, there is a timing of God in all of these things. And this is something that God's showing me and beginning to reveal to me more and more, is there is a timing and a way that God works. And it's not our time. It's not our thinking. If you were back in that day, if I was back in that day and I was thinking separate from God, I would want Moses at 35, 40 to really get everything together, because this is a big task ahead of him. I would want him to be rallying. This is when he's got all of the knowledge and the wisdom and he's ready. That's when I'd want to do something. But there's so much more going on that you and I do not see, as well as the condition of the heart and the person that God is working with in the situations where God, it all happens as the Spirit of God wills. And I had there was a prophetic person in my life some years back. One thing she warned me about, she said, don't try to get out ahead of God. Don't try to get out in somewhere, something that you think, stay in step with the Spirit of God. Now, in this situation, God's perfect timing is happening. God's perfect timing is being set up for everything, for the entire situation. So Moses is being made ready. Being made ready. The children of Israel are being made ready. They are getting used to all of the oppression and everything else, and they're getting used to the point of, my gosh, Lord, where are you? And crying out to God for a deliverer, crying out to God for salvation in the situation they're in. So all of these things are coming together, and see, there's sometimes the timing might seem right for you and I, but God is working with the entire movie, with the entire play, with everything that's there, and He's putting all the pieces together. And see, we need to make sure, you and I need to make sure, that we stay in that place of intimacy and connection with the Spirit of God, because out of that, everything that you do has purpose, even on a day-to-day basis. Even on a moment-to-moment basis. And anything done detached from Christ, detached from the Spirit of God, leads to death. So 1 Corinthians 3:7 is the one that says that one man plants, another man waters, but God causes it to grow, God causes the increase. So different people play their role as God assigns certain responsibilities, but it's God that actually makes it grow because of John 15. We're in the vine.
Mm-hmm. ないことだ。
In fact, let's flip there really quick. John 15.
ヨハネ書かれたことだ。
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That's good. So without him we can do some things. Without him we can do a few things. Yes? No, without him we can do nothing. There's nothing that we can do that has any lasting, any eternal, any sustained value whatsoever if it's done detached from the Spirit of God and from the source of life. So we remain in connection with the source of life. That's part of what we do. That's part of the Lord's Prayer that we were taught to pray, the disciples' prayer. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You and I were taught to pray, Lord, your will, your rule, your reign. I choose to submit myself to the dominion of the King. And out of that place of connection and the dominion of the King, I'm remaining in under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now in that place, all of us experience persecution, trouble, trial, tribulation. John 16, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Last verse of John 16. So it's guaranteed, so we've all experienced that. But now, there is a point in time, in God's time, in this entire situation, where something changes, something flips, something reverses. You know how so many people are just their Christian walk is, woe is me, I just gotta try to make it one more day, I'll just make it to the next week, pray for me brother. Pray for me, brother, please. Now we do pray for one for another, but there and yes, people have experienced persecution, yes. But there's a moment in time, in God's time, where the entire situation reversed. This, in chapter 3, is the beginning point of the flip. This is the beginning point of everything changing. Alright, let me give you a few things because we don't have time to get into them today, but you can think about them and go read them on your own and research them on your own. But God, in this, out of this flip and out of this situation, an old man, murderer, becomes the deliverer. Okay, there's one. I'll give you another one. Slaves become free. People that were slaving and locked into the world system now become free. Here's another one. The powerful become weak. Those that were once powerful, those that were once the big shots, those that were once the heads of the whole thing, now become weak. And are stripped of their power. Are confronted on their arrogance. They're confronted on their arrogance. They are brought to account. So the powerful become weak. You think about Pharaoh. You think about Pharaoh and everybody associated with him. How did they do in the rest of the story? How did things work out for them in the rest of the story? If a heart will not bow, if a knee will not bend before the Spirit of God, when God decides to bring things to account, what are they left with? So the powerful become weak. And here's another one. The gods worshipped yesterday become the plagues of today for those who serve them. The gods worshipped yesterday become the plagues of today for those who serve them. Okay, here, I'll explain. Okay. Because before, with what happened, when Moses goes into this situation, sometimes the surface reading of it is like, okay, here come frogs, here come flies, here come the sun, nobody can see the sun. Every one of those was something that came against also an Egyptian god, an Egyptian deity. So for each one of those things, when the plagues came and when the plagues hit their land, literally the thing that they were worshipping before now became their plague. So God reverses the whole thing on them. To let them know that there is only one true living God. And you either serve Him, or you either serve Him and receive salvation that comes on His terms, or you're stuck with what you've chosen. So the gods worshipped yesterday become the plagues of today for those who serve them. And in the reversal, there's the power of God is manifest and God is glorified. See, the power is always there. It was always there. But there's a moment in time where God says, okay, now this is my moment where now I choose to, on my terms, show myself strong on behalf of my people. You think about it like, have you ever seen those big wrestlers, these big guys? And if one is like laying down on the couch, and you get some 14-year-old boy comes in, and he takes his pen and he's poking like this. And first time he pokes him, he's like, oh, look, nothing happened. Oh, nothing happened. Oh, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything. I can push him, I can shove him. Now, does that wrestler have the power to do something about it? But there's a point in time where he says, okay, I'm getting up, and he grabs that 14-year-old by the scruff of his neck and holds him up like this. There's a point in time where power is utilized. You know, the Bible talks about the meek. It says that Moses was the most meek guy. He was. Now, meek is not weak. There's a difference. Meek actually means power under control. So if someone is a meek person, they have incredible power within them, but it's under control. And there's a point in time where God says, okay, time for that power to be used for whatever. And when that happens, Lord help you if you're on the wrong side of what God is doing. So there's a point in time, because there is a point in time so often. I mean, Jesus was the ultimate example of meekness in the earth. At any moment in time, he could have said, to hell with everybody, and just like that, and it would have been done. And he had that power all the way up onto the cross. He had the power all the way even up onto the cross. But that power remained under the control of the Spirit of God and the purpose of God and what God had instructed him to do. He said, I can ask for 12 legions of angels, and right now God will send them. But how then will the will of God be fulfilled in this situation? So, But the power is there. And inside the people of God, inside the children of God, a six-year-old child with the Spirit of God can bind a dozen kings of this world and all of their armies. That power is there. Elijah was a man like you and I. He was a person like you and I. And when he acted in accordance with the will of God and what God revealed, everything changed. A nation was stopped in its tracks. Rain didn't come. Fire came from heaven. All kinds of stuff was happening because he was one that walked with the Spirit of God. So I'll close today with this statement. We are living in the time of reversal globally. This is now a time of global reversal. And it began in a moment with Moses when it was not necessarily expected, but it began in a moment of time, and then out of that you see how everything continues to happen as it just keeps going on and on and on. And you see the reversal of God, how God changes everything around. And now we have come into that as well around the world. And it's an exciting time to be part of the body of Christ. And you and I will see it with our own eyes, even as the people of Goshen did in the time of Moses. For those who have eyes to see, let them see. And we will stop there for today.